It's not really new, that commandment. I always find myself saying something like that when this passage from John 13 comes around. I give you a new commandment, Jesus says, that you love one another. It's a good commandment, don't get me wrong, but it's not exactly new. Love is at the very center of the Hebrew Scriptures, books we commonly refer to as the Old Testament. It's a defining characteristic of who God is and of what faithfulness to God looks like. If you want chapter and verse, you can look at Leviticus 19:18. You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against any of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. That's pretty clear, right? But that is just scratching the surface. The books of the Old Testament are filled with people wrestling with this command, sometimes loving others with breathtaking courage and beauty, and sometimes failing spectacularly, as human beings do. They're filled with laws that are aimed at protecting the vulnerable, and with bold visions of a peaceful society, and with prophets calling the people back to loving their neighbors, often through the language of justice, which, as Cornel West reminds us, is just what love looks like in public. And Leviticus will always be there to be sure we don't forget that the call to love does not stop with those like us, but extends far beyond. When an alien resides with you in your land, says this ancient book of religious law written thousands of years ago, when an alien resides with you in your land, you shall not oppress the alien. The alien who resides with you shall be to you as the citizen among you. You shall love the alien as yourself, for you were aliens in the land of Egypt. We can't hear those strikingly generous words often enough, I think. The commandment to love is deeply written into the Hebrew Scriptures and into the Jewish faith. It did not begin with Jesus or with the church, that is for sure. So what does Jesus mean calling it new here? Well, as near as I can tell, what's new about it in John 13 is simply that Jesus has not said it himself before. He has spoken plenty, of course, in extended discourses about eternal life and living water and heavenly bread. He's talked about who he is, the light of the world, the good shepherd, the gate, the vine. He's gotten into plenty of debates and spoken about his coming betrayal and death. But something does shift as his time with his disciples grows short. At this point in the gospel, he starts giving instructions. And this is the big one, love. He says it several times in several ways during what is often called the farewell discourse, this extended speech that Jesus gives on his last night. This is my commandment, he will say a little later, that you love one another as I have loved you. The content of that commandment is not new. It is biblical faith 101. What's new is that now it is also Jesus's command. Now it is also his word to us, an echo of the calling that is at the heart of Scripture as a whole. This is how Jesus wanted his disciples to carry on his work after his death. This is what it means to keep following in his footsteps on this side of Easter. Love one another. It is such a simple notion. And often my impulse is to make it more complicated. To talk about how hard it is to follow Jesus' command, about how often we sentimentalize it, or make it too small, or miss the truly radical nature of what it means to love as Jesus loved. I do think there's a place for that. We need to be shaken up sometimes. But something that I read this week sent me down a different path this time. Audrey West, a teacher and New Testament scholar, shared a reflection from helping out at a kid's summer camp. She was there as a visiting teacher. The topic was love, and the counselors got the kids thinking about concrete ways that they might follow Jesus' example during their week. So here is a kid-produced list that she shared, entitled Acts of Love at Camp. Let others go first in the dining hall. Invite others to join you. Don't make fun of people who ask questions. Encourage others when the challenges are hard. Make a friendship bracelet for someone, especially if they do not have a friend at camp. Offer help even before you are asked. Remind your friend to bring a water bottle. Share your bug spray. I could go my usual route today and talk about how love is hard and demanding and will ask everything of you, which for the record, I still believe. But when I looked at this list this week, something melted in me a little, and I thought that maybe this is a moment to be reminded that love is also possible. It is something we can choose to practice in scores of concrete and often small ways every day. So I thought I would take a cue from the kids at camp and offer a brief and incomplete list for our context here, entitled Acts of Love at Church. Number one, be present for worship. Didn't know that would get applause. Okay, I didn't know that would get applause. That's good. All right. You may not be accustomed to simply thinking of being here on a Sunday morning as an act of love. We often think of church as something that we kind of do for ourselves and our own well-being, like going to the gym. But when you come and you take your place in the community and you join in the songs and you gather around the table, you are also doing something for others, being community for them, singing for them, declaring that our common journey of faith matters. You have all already done this today, so bravo. Number two, greet the person next to you. Again, maybe seems like a small thing, but just think of how many places in life here in Geneva can be cold and inhospitable, especially for somebody who isn't from here. We join the flow on busy sidewalks and in bustling supermarkets. We wait in line in doctor's offices and government agencies, often with no greeting at all or a perfunctory bonjour at the door. When we greet those around us here, we give expression, however small, to our core belief that each person matters, that we are each precious in the eyes of God. Number three, get to know the names of others and take the time to learn to pronounce them well. Maybe not a whole lot more needs to be said there. We come from so many different places and cultures and backgrounds, and no matter where we each come from, there will be names here that are more challenging for each of us to learn and pronounce. But it is worth working at this. And it is always okay to ask for a reminder. That too is an act of love. Number four, ask questions. Be curious about one another. Don't assume you know what someone thinks or believes. Ask about their home country, their home church, their childhood, the foods that they most miss. We have so much to learn from one another, and there is love in asking a good, honest question. Number five, contact someone you are thinking of. Maybe you notice somebody hasn't been present in a little while. Maybe you find yourself thinking about a person from the community during the week and feel a nudge to pray for them. Let them know that. Give a call or send a text, even something simple saying, I was thinking of you and hope you are well. Number six, share the gifts that you have. Working in the kitchen, greeting at the door, playing an instrument, sharing a story, leading prayers. There is no end to the gifts that are present right here in this community. And sharing them is not just lending a hand or pitching in. It's bigger than that. It is an act of love, a way of saying our common life here matters to me, and I want to contribute to it in this way. That's very far from a complete list. We could keep going, but I hope you get the idea. You could make similar lists for other parts of your life, acts of love at home, or at work, or in your own neighborhood. So much in our world is difficult right now. So much is uncertain, and we can feel paralyzed, like we don't know what to do with ourselves. But the call to love is constant, and it's ever present. It is practical, and it begins right where we are. Many of you know that last Sunday I was out of town attending a conference. Our congregation is part of the Association of International Churches in Europe and the Middle East. And this year, pastors of member churches met in London. As part of the conference, every year we attend worship in a local church. And 1 year ago, the gathering was in Madrid, and we worshiped with a small English-speaking Protestant congregation meeting in a lecture hall in a university. It was a simple, lovely service, and at the prayer time, people were invited to share concerns that they had. A number of people spoke, and as part of that time, a young woman came to the front and asked for prayers because her parents were coming to visit next week, and they were going to meet her new girlfriend. She had only recently come out to them and was nervous about the meeting. Prayers were assured for her and her family. And then another young woman came forward, rather tentatively. She said this was her first time in worship here or in any congregation in a long time. She identified as queer, and everywhere she had gone, she had found churches offering judgment and closed doors to her. She shared how pleased she was and how meaningful it was for her to find a different spirit in this little congregation. "I can tell," she said, gesturing to this other young woman, "that people like us are welcome here." We were all moved by this sharing, but it wasn't over, because then the pastor spoke. "Hold on," he said. "Here there are not people like you and people like me. Here there are only people, and in God's love there is room for all of us." And the room just went absolutely silent at that point. It was truly a holy moment, where old walls and barriers seemed to fall away. And I'm telling you that story right now because at the meeting that I was at last week, the pastor from that little church in Madrid gave an update on the young woman who had not been to church in a long time. She had indeed found a home in that community that she'd first worshiped with that Sunday a year ago. She'd gotten involved in all sorts of things over the past year, and of all things, she's now enrolled to begin seminary. And that's just the church being the church, following Jesus' commandment in practical and ordinary ways, showing up for one another, setting the table, worshiping, praying, welcoming, making room. They might look like small things, but they are not. They are all acts of love. We can make this far too complicated sometimes, like a riddle that we need to solve, and that is a mistake. Yes, Jesus' call is demanding. Yes, it will take us beyond our comfort zones. Yes, it will ask everything of us. Yes, it is a big commandment. But it is also possible, and it's often surprisingly simple. "Love one another," Jesus says. How will we respond today? Amen.